Okay, you ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're at the top of page 14, we begin with Volume 18, 8, 15, 1925. My daughter, all created things were made for man, and all of them run together, toward man. So everything in the universe was for us. And that's one of the things we're going to discover. They discovered scientifically that everything revolves around the earth. Everything is moving away from the earth. And basically it's what Jesus is saying here. All created things were made for mankind, and all of them run towards mankind. They have no feet, but they all walk. They have no motion. They all have motion, either to find him or to be found, or to be found. The light of the sun departs from the height of the heaven in order to find creatures to illuminate him and warm him. So it is with my divine will that walks constantly toward the creature with created things. It never stops. It is all motion toward the one whom it loves so much. So again, mankind, like everything in the universe, Jesus says, everything in the universe is a work of God. The only life of God is a human soul, a baby. It's the only life of God. But all that is in creation, all that is, are the works are for man. And what we are now is everything is upside down. We want to save the earth. We want to save the whale. We want to save, God wants to save us. And we have to be one with God. And we don't want to be misled to believe that sin is like throwing an aluminum can out in the road. That's not sin. That's garbage, you know. But sin is to turn against God, to live a life away from God. And so we have to get back in order. And this is why we have the church. The church is very much in charge of leading, guiding, and directing us to understand the mind of Christ, to think with the intellect of Jesus. And that's why, I mentioned it before, but the great gift that was given to mankind was humani vitae, to be, what is human life? What is it about? And what humani vitae basically was, we belong to God, and God reigns over us. And we didn't follow that mind of Christ. And back in 1969, we basically said, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And everything is falling apart. The children are very far away from God. And it's not because anything, but we have stopped learning how to live a truly universal life, a truly, truly Catholic life. And everything's been compromised. Everything is sad, and we have to get back on track. And that's what God's bringing. He's giving us the way and the how this is going to happen. God is wrapping everything up, and he's saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. And this is the thing that's so, so amazing. So Jesus shows us this. Everything that was created was made for us. Everything is a work. For whom? For the life of God. That is a soul, a human soul. We care so much about animals, but we have no care for humans. With euthanasia, with abortion. Our life has got to get back on track. And this is what God's waiting for. So in volume 18, 11, 12, 1925, he says, it shall happen as with the sun, that because it possesses such great fullness of light, it can easily take the whole world as though in its power to warm it, illuminate it, and fundicate it in such a way that all may know, some more, some less, the good that the sun does by bringing its light to everyone. But if the sun, in the height of its sphere, were to pour in light, that light descends down below would not fully illuminate the earth. At most, some small portion of the earth that rotates closer to the sun. And if to the sun that was to illuminate the earth naturally, I, God, gave such fullness of light for the good of all human generations, much more do I want to fill the fullness of the light of the sun of my divine will that must illuminate souls. That's us. God wants to fill us with this illumination. That this time that's coming, the illumination of conscience that's coming, is to begin to see things from a divine perspective. It's to begin to see things from Christ's point of view. And that means we're going to learn how to live this fullness of life, this fullness of light, this fullness of love that's found in God's most holy divine will. So he says, the fullness of the light of the sun that must illuminate us, warm them and cast them into the fecundity of the seed of divine sanctity. This is what's coming. So if you're reading the book of heaven, you're getting ready. If you're not reading the book of heaven, you're going to be shocked. I mean, we're going to be shocked anyways, because we're studying this and we are so far from what God has planned. And we're going, yeah, that's nice. That's good. That's really nice. I like the divine will. No, it's to live the life of God, not to be God, but to possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary found in Louisa. This is what God's waiting for. We must be illuminated. And so God is giving us a great blessing, this book of heaven. If we want to be ready, start reading. If we're reading, read more. If we're studying some days, study every day. Get to know this. Get to possess this. You will be filled with so much light, so much love, so much life that you will be completely happy. So, the fullness of the light of the sun must illuminate us, warm us, cast into us the fecundity of the seed of divine sanctity to begin to live this divine life. So he says this. This is how he compares it. Just as I chose Adam as the head, just as I chose the point in the heavens as which to fix the center of the sun that was to illuminate the earth, so did I, Jesus, choose you, Louisa Picaretta, as the center of the sun of my most holy divine will. And the fullness of divine light. So much, it must be so great that everyone may be able to enjoy it, be invested by this light of Louisa. And each one may make this light of Louisa his own. Like Jesus said to Louisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass, Louisa. He says, you're nothing. He says, but what I've given you is my life. What I've given you is my mother's life, the new Adam and the new Eve. What you possess is the new way, as John Paul II said, the new and divine way of holiness. As you begin to live this life, watch what I'm going to do for all the world. Watch what I'm going to do. I want you to make this life your own life. This is why your complete acts of my divine will are needed. And so God's going to teach us how to do complete acts of the divine will through Louisa, as well as the knowledges, the truths that I, Jesus, keep on manifesting to you, Louisa, in the book of heaven. Why? In order to form the fullness of this divine light. That's going to radiate in us. You're not going to have a nimbus. You're not going to have a halo in the divine will. It will radiate through you, in with and through you, as it radiated in Jesus on Mount Tabor, as it radiated in Our Lady of the Woman Clothed with the Sun at Guadalupe. This is not about being good and holy and saintly, but it's about sharing in divinity. This is what God's got planned. There is not one act in which I, God, would not be so content if I, God, did not find in you, Louisa Picaretta, all the acts of all creatures that have been done and shall be done. Nor would you be able to say that you have completed everything in my most holy divine will. You would lack something of the true living in my divine will. Therefore, be attentive to us. Read, study, put this into practice. If you want the fullness of divine light to be enough as to be able to illuminate all mankind, past, present, and future, with the sun of my most holy divine will. That's what's coming. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's all changing. It's all going to change. You got to get ready for what's coming. It's glorious what's coming. And God wants us to participate in that. He says very clearly, the one who wants to give light to everyone must embrace everyone, past, present, and future. And that's how we pray. That's what Jesus taught Louisa. As though in one single embrace, by making himself life and substitution of everything and of everyone. This is so magnificent what our God is doing. He's wrapping it up. We're going back to our origin. We're going back to the womb of the Father. We're going back to begin to live this abundant life. And Jesus says, I want you to begin to live this now. Not after you die. After you die, it's too late. I want you to begin to live this now. World without end. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking us to trust him so much that we bank our life on this. We say, I want nothing but this. Why? Because this is what Jesus wants. He's really looking at us and he's saying, I want to give this to you. He says, are you willing to do this? Volume 19, 8, 9, 19, 26. My divine will makes the soul grow straight in such a way that the soul cannot bend toward the earth, but always looks at heaven. Think about that. With the iPhone, everybody is looking down. The iPad, everybody is looking down. It's very clear. What does scripture say? Look up. Your redemption is near at hand. Everyone is looking down. Jesus says this. He says, my divine will makes the soul grow straight in such a way that she cannot bend towards the earth, but she always looks at heaven. This is what's happening today. Everybody is looking down. Last time I was in the airport, nobody was looking up. Nobody. They're all looking down, looking down, looking down. Her constant looking towards heaven, hopefully that's us, forms many exaltations of divine light that envelop the soul completely. It's heaven. This cloud of light is so thick that eclipsing all the things of earth, it makes them all disappear, and in exchange it makes reappear for her everything that is heaven. Look at that. This is glorious. He's going to free us. We're slaves to looking down. We're slaves. I mean, scripture says, look up, your redemption is near at hand, and everybody's looking down. Why do you think scripture says that? God knew how we were going to live. Looking down. We're forced to look down. So it can be said that heaven is what she knows and all the things belong to heaven is what she loves. Is that true for us? My divine will renders her step firm, and therefore there is no danger that she might stagger, even slightly, in beautiful endowment of the heavenly reason, so illuminated by the light that envelops the soul as to move from one truth to another. This light uncovers for her divine mysteries, ineffable things, celestial joys. Now, who has a pain in the neck? Who is a pain in the neck? No. Who has a pain in the neck? I mean, usually a lot of people today talk about pains in their neck. Do you know that in exorcisms, that's where the demons go directly, right to the neck? You know, people say you're a pain in the neck. That's where the demons go. Why? 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 This is something that Jesus is saying, look up. The pain in your neck will disappear. Our Lord is letting us know that good things are right around the corner, but we have to obey. So how many of us are forced looking down throughout the day? Jesus is saying, look up, enter into this light, enter into this truth, enter into the divine mysteries, enter into the ineffable things, enter into the celestial joys. Watch what I'm going to do for those souls that obey. Well, I can't do this. I got to get back to my phone. You know, God says, fine. He says, I've got things for you. What do you want? And they're saying the youth go through depression when they don't have their phone around them. That's addiction. And any addiction, you have to be free of every addiction. Food and television, radio, newspaper, magazines, you name it. All addictions will be gone, have to be gone. People are going to have to spend a lot of time in purgatory if you can get there to be freed of our addictions. And again, the Lord is asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. So, Volume 19, 5:27, 19:26. If the light of the sun were divisible, for how long would the sun have been poor in light, having no more strength to illuminate all the earth? One could say, divided light, desolate earth. So, the sun can sing victory, and it possesses all its strength and effects thanks to the unity of its light. And if the earth receives so many admirable and numerable effects to the point that the sun can be called the life of the earth, everything comes from the unity of the light it possesses. After so many centuries has lost not even one atom of light that was entrusted to it by God. And therefore it is always triumphant, always majestic, always fixed, always stable in its light. In singing the praise of the triumph of the glory of the eternal light of its creator. Now, my daughter, this is so great. The sun is the symbol of my eternal divine will. And if this symbol possesses the unity of light, much more does my divine will possess it. Not as a symbol, but as a reality of light. While the sun can be called the budding of the inaccessible light of my divine will, and that you have seen its immensity, how one does not see a globe of light like the sun, but a vastness as such that the human eye cannot arrive at seeing where it ends or where it begins. And yet all this endlessness of light is one single act of the eternal will. God wants us to enter into that one single act of the eternal will of God. This is what God is looking for. He wants us to participate in this. And if things of earth attract us, God says, you know, please let go of it. These are our the majority of human life. Let go so that you can enter into this divine light, divine life. That's more real than this life. Remember St. Thomas Aquinas, he knocked on the table and he says, this table is not as real as eternity. This table will turn to dust someday. Eternity is forever. Get ready for eternity. When Our Lady says time has now come to an end, time is going to end. We are going to enter into eternity, or we don't. And Jesus wants us in eternity. This time is so precious to Jesus that he has given us the book of heaven. He said this to Louisa, when this book of heaven is released, the whole face of the earth will change. It will be like a new sun for my church. It will be like a new light for my church. And people will be spiritualized and divinized as they read these words. That's what God's got planned. And he's asking us, are you willing to say yes to this? That's all he's saying. I want to give this to you. Can you say yes? And when we say, what is yes? It's fiat. It's fiat in all things. And that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for us to say yes to this. So Jesus says this very, very clearly. It's the endless light of one single act of the eternal will. All this uncreated is so compacted together as to become inseparable, indivisible, So more than Son, it possesses the eternal unity in which the triumph of God and all of God's works is founded. God wants us to enter into this infinite ocean of love. We are a drop of nothing. We're like that drop put into the chalice filled with wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ. As we enter into this eternal ocean of God's love, it belongs to us. We belong to God. Everything that's in that eternal ocean is ours. And that's what our Lord is saying. Are you willing to trust me enough, to believe in me enough, to have confidence in me enough to say fiat? That's what Our Lady said. That's what Louisa said. And that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us. Now, if you can't say fiat yet, read. Keep on reading. Keep on studying. There's no way that you can say no to this. There's no way. As you enter into this, as you get deeper and deeper into this, as you begin to breathe this divine I love you, as you begin to swim in this infinite ocean of love, there's no way you can say no to it. It gets more and more beautiful every day. You become more and more peaceful every day. You become more and more happy every day. Why? Jesus is speaking to you. How can you not be happy? Jesus is speaking to you. He loves you very much. He loves us very, very much. And that's why he's saying, enter into the eternal unity of God. Enter into this. Give your fiat. Watch what God will do. Now, this triumph of the unity of the supreme will, the center of the divine dwelling place of its throne, is the center of the sacrosanct Trinity. That's where we're going to dwell, in, with, through, and for God, never to be separated from God, participating in him for all eternity. We are his children for all eternity. And all that he asks is that we say fiat. That's all he asks. From this divine center start its most refulgent rays and invests the whole celestial fatherland. All the saints, all the angels are invested by the unity of my divine will. And they all receive its innumerable effects. And abducting themselves, them all to itself, and it makes of them one single unity, listen to this, with the supreme unity of my most holy divine will. We become one with God, fused with God, never to be separated from God, participated in, with, through, and for God for all eternity. This is amazing. These rays invest the whole of creation and form its unity within the soul who lives in my most holy divine will. That's Louisa, and hopefully it's us as well. Look, the unity of this light, of my most holy divine will, that resides in the center of the three divine persons, is already fixed in you, Louisa Picaretta. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. Go to Louisa. Learn from Louisa how to live this. It's fixed in you, Louisa. So one is the light and one is the act. One is the will. Now, while you do your acts in this unity, they are already incorporated in that single act of the center, and the divinity is already with you, Louisa, doing what you do, Louisa Picaretta. Are we doing what Louisa has been taught? That's the rounds. Doing the rounds, making your rounds, praying your rounds is what Jesus said to Louisa from Volume 16 to Volume 36. Are we doing that? Have we learned how to do that? God's got great plans. Now, while you do your acts in the unity, they are already incorporated in a single act of the center, and the divinity is already with you, doing what you do. The celestial mother, the angels, the saints, and the whole creation, all in chorus, repeat your act, Louisa, and feel the effects of the supreme will that a human has done in the divine will. You see how we're supposed to be like God? To do what God does. That's why he created Adam. That's why he's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Watch, Jesus says, and listen to the prodigy never before seen. That's Louisa. Watch Louisa. Listen to Louisa. To the prodigy never before seen. That a single act that fills both heaven and earth with a very Trinity unifying itself with Louisa and places itself as the primary act of Louisa. God does it in Louisa. And it's a divine act because God does this. And that's what God wants to teach us. He wants to teach us how to do this. So what we'll do now is we'll kneel and pray the prayer of consecration to the divine will, and we'll get the blessing with the relic of the true cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, prostrate before your light, I, the littlest among all creatures, come, O adorable will, into the little group of the first children of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech and implore your endless light, that it may want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you, in such a way that I might do nothing other than look, comprehend, and live in you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. In this heart, the human will no longer have life. I will banish it forever and will form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it, I shall always be happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything and brings everything to God. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the sacrosanct Trinity that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will so as to restore in me the original order of creation just as the creature was created. Celestial Mother, Sovereign and Queen of the divine fiat, take me by the hand and enclose me in the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my tender mother. You will guard your child and will teach me to live and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Celestial Sovereign, to your heart, I entrust my whole being. I will be the tiny little child of the divine will. You will teach me the divine will, and I will be attentive in listening to you. You will lay your blue mantle over me so that the infernal serpent may not dare to penetrate into the sacred Eden, to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and nourish me, to form in me the life of the supreme will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the custodian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously and will never give it to me again, that I may be sure never to go out of the will of God. Guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may grow flourishing and be the call of the whole world into the will of God. Celestial Court, come to my help, and I promise you to live always in the divine will. Amen. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through this intercession of Louisa, that we be healed spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. We ask that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Amen.